There's a Greek word for that kind of a song. It's called a slobber knocker. It's not fair, Jack. I'm supposed to preach after you sing that. But great, great job. Thank you. And Sarah, thank you, choir. Thank you for blessing us as you do Sunday after Sunday. Now let me invite you to look with us through the book of Ephesians as we look at God's word together for a few moments. I want to say a special word, as I should do every Sunday, to Stacy, our wonderful secretary and financial secretary as well, does a great job. I looked in the bulletin this morning, and I looked at the little thing that she put in there, the little graphic about what it means to be saved, what it means to be secure in Christ. And I thought, now that'll preach. I almost changed my sermon to her outline this morning. Good stuff. Stacy, thank you for the great job that you do. Last Sunday, we started a mini-series, I guess you'd call it, on discovering our blessings in Christ. And if you were here last Sunday, you'll be aware, maybe you'll remember, we talked about what it means to be saved. Sometimes we can hear a word so often, be so familiar with it, that it loses its significance, at least at the moment. And I want you to know that when we as Christians face the stuff of this old world, trials and tribulations, hurts and heartaches, problems and storms, it's good to know who we are in Christ, that we are children of the living God, we're heirs of God and joint heirs of Christ. We're more than conquerors through Him that loved us, and so much more. And last Sunday we talked about what it means to be saved, redeemed, rescued, regenerated in Christ. Today I want us to talk a little bit about our security and the surety of our salvation in the lovely Lord Jesus. I want us to talk about what it means to know that you're saved and know that you're saved forever, washed in the blood of the Lamb. In Ephesians chapter 1, and Roger was reminding me of the significance of this passage, that really most of Ephesians chapter 1 could be one long verse about the majesty of the Lord Jesus Christ. He talks about predestination and adoption, and we're accepted in the beloved, redemption through the blood of Christ. But I want to look primarily to verses 9. You've got verses 13 through 14 in your outline, but let's begin at verse 19 and verse 9, excuse me, and read through verse 14, all right? Beginning in verse 9. Speaking of Jesus, in verse 8, he said, He has abounded toward us with all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, in verse 9, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. And notice, Jesus is the centerpiece of Paul's message to the Ephesians, in whom, speaking of Christ, also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be unto the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that, or when that, you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after that, or when you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. I want us to take just a few moments and talk about the security of the believer in Christ Jesus. If you've been in church very long, and some of you have been in church all of your life, you'd call it the security of the believer, or eternal security. Now, I've heard folks say that that's a dangerous doctrine to preach, and I want to respond to that by simply saying no gospel truth, no biblical truth is dangerous to preach. It's all for our edification and for His glory and for our good. But I think what people are trying to say is, if you preach once saved, always saved, doesn't that somehow give some people a license to live any way they want to live? Well, the truth is, it makes you want to live more for Jesus than ever before when you realize that your salvation is a gift from God by grace through faith. And I tell you, I've always believed, Scripture teaches, once saved, always saved, because it's centered in the lovely lordship of Christ. And I've got good news for you this morning. You'll love this. I had adapted my outline, excuse me, to be a nine-point sermon. And this nine-point sermon was nine reasons why we believe in eternal security. And when I sent Stacy the outline on the computer for her to print off and put here, I sent her the previous outline, which had 4 points. And so you can thank her later on for shortening the message significantly this morning. But I'll give you a heads up. We'll cover the other 5 points next Sunday, all right? Looking at the wonderful subject of what it means to be saved, talking about the preservation of the saints or the perseverance of the saints, I want us to take just a moment to look at 4 reasons why we believe this is true, what it means in the life of the believer. The first of them is this. We believe that we're saved. We're still talking about that we're saved by God's grace through faith. We are saved because of the premise or the foundation, that which salvation is built upon, of salvation. Ephesians 2, 8 and 10 is one of our favorite verses. You know it well. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now let's pause for just a moment and be sure we've got a good hold on this wonderful passage. For by grace are you saved. What is the premise of preaching on salvation by grace and eternal salvation and once saved, always saved? Well, the premise is it's not, I wasn't saved because of something I did. You weren't saved because of something you did to earn salvation. We all were sinners who are saved by grace, who were saved by God's grace through faith. And the premise is we couldn't be saved were it not for Jesus and the washing of the blood and the finished work of Calvary on the cross. So the premise of eternal security is the premise that it all depends on God, for God extended his grace to us. God keeps us by his grace and will deliver us by his grace. And to discover the blessings and the joys of knowing the Lord means to discover that I've got a reservation made in glory. Jesus made it a long time ago, and I don't know if this is totally true or not. I believe probably it is. I really think that that night when I gave my heart and life to the Lord Jesus, I used to think that that night the Lord wrote my name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, that's all right. That may be when he did. But I also kind of think it could be the angel said, y'all come here and look at this book, and looked at the Book of Life, and they went down to J's and K's and found Jackie K. And the angels probably said, see there, his name was already there. It was his time to give his heart and life to Jesus. Now, I don't know which it'll be, but there'll be celebration in glory to realize that our names are recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, and we are saved by God's grace. The premise of eternal security is salvation based on God's grace and God's love for us, not our good works. Number two. The premise of salvation by grace and eternal security, the blessings of God upon the believer, is the promise of Scripture. Now, as we go on, I just find myself getting more blessed and blessed because these passages are so rich. Romans 8, 35 through 39. Follow along with me as you see it there in your worship guide this morning. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? And really what Paul was doing was listing a plethora of things in this world that people might suppose could separate us from Christ. And Paul says, no, none shall all of these things. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, and he keeps on going, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul, what are you trying to say? Well, he's saying the same thing that Jesus said in John 6. Jesus said, "My sheep follow me." And then Jesus said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." Now, folks, this ought to put you on shouting ground. What shall separate us from the love of God? What can come against us in life? Sickness or sorrow, difficulty, hardship, problems, difficult times. All of those things together. And if we were to take your testimony and my testimony, in this room there have been lots of heartache, lots of sorrow, lots of pain. Some folks are going through that now. Isn't it good to know we've got a Savior with a salvation that's eternally secure based on God's grace and faith, not based on our keeping ourselves saved? I couldn't keep myself saved if I tried to. Thank God I'm saved and kept by the power of God's grace. We relish in the blessings of being saved because of the premise of salvation is by grace through faith and the promise of salvation. By the way, remember when you were little, if you were making a promise, remember what you'd do. If you wanted somebody to know that you really meant business, what would you do? Cross my heart, hope to die, hope to stick a needle in my eye. But you know what? In the Scripture, all the Lord's got to do is say something. And it is eternally true and irreversibly true. God cannot lie. He is truth. And he gives us these passages to give us the courage in the dark days that our salvation, it doesn't come at the whim of God's activity. It is the gift of God bestowed on all who by faith receive the Lord Jesus. "My sheep come unto me and they hear my voice," said Jesus, "and I will in no wise cast them out." The wonderful blessing of what it means to be eternally saved is based on the premise of salvation, based on the promise of Scripture, and based on the perfection of God's sacrifice. Now, I say this on every point because I love them all. The perfection of God's sacrifice. Hebrews 10:14. "For by one offering he hath perfected, made complete forever them that are sanctified." Folks, I've got good news for you. One day a lamb, a spotless lamb, was nailed to a tree on Calvary's hill called Calvary, and there Jesus bled and gave himself for our sins. He was the one who never died. He was the one that our Lord sent to this world to take our place and to die on Calvary in our place. So we can talk about eternal security because of the premise of salvation. It's by grace through faith, the promise of God's word, and the perfection of the saints. By one offering, he's perfected us forever, those that are sanctified. Romans 4:5-8. "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly," now look, "his faith is counted for righteousness." Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, "Blessed are they whose sins are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute or charge sin to your account." Do you know, when we were saved, something, an internal transaction took place. We became one in Christ. We're hidden with God in Christ. And Jesus' blood that washes away all of our sin, washes our sin, and is sufficient for the sins of yesterday, the sins of today, and the sins of tomorrow. And the sin does have a penalty. Don't ever think that we can sin and get away with it, trying to do so on our own accord, because sin is a very high price. But thank God Jesus paid it all. "All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow." I'm saved eternally because in the Scripture, the Bible says the perfect sacrifice has been made for me. By the way, the priest would come every year on the high day of atonement and offer a spotless lamb or a perfect lamb, as much as they could get a perfect lamb, upon the altar for the sins of Israel. And they did it every year. Folks, good news. One day a lamb died on the cross. And that sacrifice won't ever have to be repeated because it was enough to wash away all of our sins. And then fourthly, we can relish and celebrate and praise God for eternal salvation in Christ because of the proof of the Holy Spirit. The proof. Listen to what in Ephesians, our passage that we read just a moment ago. Look at it one more time. In whom ye also trusted, after that, or when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession under the praise of his glory. And then Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. Now let's talk about this seal for just a moment. There are three thoughts I want to share with you this morning. The Holy Spirit is the proof of salvation. Jesus living within me is God's amen to let me know that I've been saved by God's wonderful grace. The Holy Spirit is a seal of proof, and it was used to indicate a finished transaction, a finished legal transaction. Now don't miss that. The Holy Spirit, God's seal upon our heart, God's imprint upon our heart, God's symbol of the Holy Spirit upon our heart, just as though it were a legal transaction. And it is legally, spiritually, and eternally binding because of the nature of God and the promise of God. So the Holy Spirit is God's proof of eternal security. It is an indication of a legal, finished transaction, the proof of being washed away, our sins washed away. The Holy Spirit is a seal not only of proof, but of possession. It was used to put a seal on an item. A king or a potentate would put a seal from his office upon an item, and it would indicate that seal belonged to him or that item belonged to him. It was used to display ownership. We are not our own. We belong to him. The Holy Spirit is God's seal of proof, God's seal of possession. And again, God's seal of promise. You ladies are like this. The Holy Spirit is God's promise, God's seal of promise. The word earnest here is the earnest of our inheritance, is the same word as you would use for, now let's go back down memory lane for a moment. Remember, guys, when you were going to pop the question and you just worked hard and you kept a secret from everybody and you got the ring and you planned the day and maybe it was on a date, maybe it's when all like us recently, our youngest son proposed to a young lady, and it was on Halloween. Now, there's something kind of significant about that. Halloween, you'll get that later on. But anyway, I remember as all the kids were standing around the parlor of their house or her house with their bags of candy, and the kids, their mind was 1,000 miles away from somebody about to get engaged. But I remember Joey got down on one knee, and I remember that his fiance now, or his wife now, took a deep breath, and she squealed. And I won't do that because it'll scare you. She squealed, and then she said, I thought this would never happen. And she said, yes, yes, yes. And they slobbered and slung snot and cried and all that stuff. There's something about, you know what that engagement ring means? It means two people have pledged their love and loyalty to each other and pledged the day that they would unite their lives together in marriage, and they did several months later on. And now they've got five little children running around the house and enjoying marriage, I hope. But the Holy Spirit is God's engagement ring to his children, reminding us God has betrothed himself to us. He is the bride, and he is the bridegroom. And we're the bride, and the Holy Spirit is God's seal of promise that one day he would take us to be with him forever and ever and ever. He was also, not only is the Holy Spirit God's engagement ring, the word seal here is also used of a promise or a down payment. Any of you bought anything and put up a down payment? Maybe it was a car, maybe it was a house, maybe it was something smaller. But that down payment was the promise of the earnest. That was the earnest for the money that was yet to come. And so when we were saved, the Holy Spirit came into our hearts. By the way, do you know that every child of God, now listen, is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And the moment you gave your heart to Jesus, the Holy Spirit, whether you call it the baptism of the Spirit or the incoming of the Holy Spirit, everybody who is saved is saved. And at that moment, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell and abide with him and shall forever dwell and abide with him until the Lord calls us home to glory. He is the down payment to remind us that the best is yet to come. Discovering the believer's riches in Christ. Down here, we ought to have such a good time. We've got all the promises of God. We've got the fellowship of the saints of God. We've got the truth in the holy word of God. God gives us all those things to get us through, and we look forward to the day when we'll see him face to face. The best is yet to come. Can you imagine that? The best is yet to come. And one day we'll see him face to face, and all the sorrows of this world will be erased. And the Holy Spirit is God's down payment to remind you, cheer up, child of God, the best is yet to come. So what do I do when I think about what it means to be saved? Well, I listed three things here for us. We just mentioned them briefly. Don't assume that you're saved. The Bible says examine your hearts to see whether you be in the faith. He doesn't do that to create doubt. He does it to create assurance so that you might know and have that blessed assurance that Jesus is yours. Be sure that you know that you're saved. Depart from sin, and as the admonished in 2 Timothy 2, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Walk with the Lord. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Only a few more days to sing God's praise, and he'll be calling us to glory. Depart from sin. Be as godly a walk, have as godly a walk as you know how to have. Don't let your security be an excuse for living casually for the Lord. And then give diligence, earnest heed to obedience and faith. Therefore, we ought to give the most earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Guard your heart. The devil will do everything he can to cause you to slip along the way. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Stay close to the Word. Stay close in the Word. Walk with him. Stay in fellowship with God's people. Keep your sins confessed and keep your fellowship with the Lord growing. By the way, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The more that I love him, the more love he bestows. And I pray that you and I as believers will discover the blessings of what it means to be in Christ. And if you don't know the Lord, if you've never been saved, as we talked about last Sunday, you've never experienced the joy of the proof of the Holy Spirit coming within you, God's seal, God's down payment, God's engagement ring, you can trust that. You can trust the Lord today. You can make life's greatest choice today as you open up your heart and life to the Lord. Let me share with you one other thing, and I'll be done this morning. On September the 24th, coming up just a few weeks from now, Libby and I will be gone. We've had an opportunity and an invitation to go to the home church where I was saved, where I came to know the Lord, where I was baptized, where I married sweet Libby, where I was ordained, the only church I ever attended regularly growing up. And they're having a lot of the old-timers back. It's the 180th anniversary, and we're looking forward to going. But I said, Libby, you know, now we're the older crowd. We're the ones that the folks are coming to see, because I was there in the 50s and 60s and 70s. But you know what? I got word this week that two of my buddies, two of our friends, had passed away in the last 2 weeks that were deacons in the church when I grew up there. But you know, that reminds me, just because they've gone on from this old world doesn't mean we won't see them again. We'll see them again, and folks, what a day of rejoicing that'll be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face and tell the story, saved by grace. It'll be good to go home to see old friends, but it'll be even better when we go home with a capital H. And we're there with all the saints of God gathered around. And I just believe, Debbie, I just believe we're going to stand around. I believe we're going to share stories of this old world. I believe we're going to be reconciled and have a great time renewing old friendships. What a day that'll be from our Jesus we shall see. And we look upon his face and tell the story saved by grace. What a day. glorious day that will be. If you don't know Him, would you trust Him today? Let's bow together. Let's pray.